Children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl of water, full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew all on the ground. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we ask that you'd bless the message tonight. Please help me as I bring this message. Speak to our hearts through your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts and teach us and show us, encourage us, challenge us. Just to help us, Lord, for these next several minutes to block out all of the cares of the day. And we just pray that we could think about what's written here and make application to our lives. Once again, Lord, we are so thankful for your goodness. We are thankful for your mercy. And we are thankful for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, look on your handout, if you would. Really, our theme for this entire series is right under the text where I have the text listed there. The book of Judges determines... Let's all read this out loud. All right? Let's read this just right out loud on our handout. You ready? Let's begin. The book of Judges demonstrates God's faithfulness to fulfill His unconditional covenant with Israel, despite their unfaithfulness in fulfilling their covenant with Him. Good. Did a great job reading that tonight. Very good. And so I have on the handout just a quick review of all that we've covered so far. So we saw just in chapter 1, the failure of Israel. We saw in chapter number 2, the Lord rebuked them. We saw in chapters number 2 also the stubbornness of Israel. Yet all through this, God is faithful. In verse 3, the proving of the Israelites, and God raising up judges like Othniel and Ehud and Shamgar. Nothing special about these men. In fact, it really seems as if the Bible indicates that there was nothing special about them. And then we heard of Deborah and Barak and how they delivered Israel and the song of Deborah. And then the beginning of the 7 years of oppression of the Midianites in chapter 6 and in verse 1. Look again at that. Chapter 6, verse 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. There was a pattern, too. It was really sad. The Israelites would till their soil, and the Israelites would grow their crops, and the Israelites would do all that they could do, and then at the harvest time, the Midianites would come in and just take everything. And that's a sad, sad state of affairs. Ethan touched a little bit on it last week, but the Midianites, if you notice on your handout, the Midianites are actually descendants of Abraham. After Sarah died, Abraham took unto him Keturah as a wife, and that's the line of the Midianites through Keturah. But they were not the children of the blessings of God. The Israelites were. So the blessings of God do not fall on the Midianites. They were, by the way, those who would sell Joseph for 20 pieces of silver and into Egyptian bondage. And they, throughout the Bible, the Midianites, as well as you notice under them there, the Amalekites, which are also mentioned, these were the people who would attack the Israelites as they wandered through the wilderness. And all of the stragglers who fell behind, the weak and the fatigued, they would pick them off. And Saul was supposed to kill them, and Saul didn't kill them. Remember, he left King Agag alive and the sheep. We just looked at this the other Wednesday night. And they would be a thorn in the flesh, or a thorn in the side to David as well, and because that there was a remnant that survived. And they didn't do what God said. But yet God was still their covenant God, and God still blessed them. And here we have God raising up Gideon. And nothing really special about Gideon. In fact, we find a lot of flaws in Gideon. And I've got just 2 points, if you notice on your handout. We want to look at the fearfulness of Gideon tonight, but then we want to look at the faithfulness of God. The fearfulness of Gideon, and then the faithfulness of God. Gideon's got a problem. He's got a fear problem. And really, I could have put the faithlessness of Gideon. He's got a problem, a fear problem. Look in chapter 6 again, and look at verse 12. He says this. He says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Ethan pointed this out last week. He really wasn't a mighty man of valor. Everything that he did was kind of, he did it, but there seemed to be a great reluctance to it. And he says this in verse 13. "And Gideon said unto him, Oh my Lord, if there's a lot of ifs in Gideon's life. That's a sense of fearfulness. You understand what I'm saying? When people say if, well, God gave direct instructions. In fact, look up here for just a second before we go any further. Let me ask you this question tonight. And you don't have to answer. I just want you to think about this. Do you think it's right to put out a fleece? Because some Christians, that's what they say. I'm going to put out a fleece to see if this is what God wants me to do. They look at it really from what Gideon had to say here. What do you think about that? Now let me just give you my position on it. Personally, I don't think that the Lord asks us to put out a fleece. I think the putting out of the fleece was the lack of faith and the fearfulness of Gideon. Gideon was looking for signs. We're not to look for signs. People who look for signs are never content with one sign. They want another sign, and another sign, and another sign. In fact, if you remember from last week's message, God had already given Gideon a sign. He had showed this to Gideon. But Gideon says here, again, verse 13, Gideon said, Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us. First of all, he's wondering if God's even with them. Why then is all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles which our fathers told of us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. He's looking for miracles. By the way, there's a lot of people today, they're looking for miracles. It's interesting, but if you study the times of miracles in the Old Testament, some people think, well, there were just miracles all throughout the Old Testament. Not necessarily true. Just a small amount, a number of years, were there miracles. Hundreds and hundreds of years would go by without miracles. But Gideon was looking for miracles like people are looking for miracles today. Signs and miracles. The next person who is going to arrive on the scene with signs and miracles, according to 2 Thessalonians, is the one whom Satan empowers, and that is the Antichrist. That's why you and I need to be very careful about these signs and miracles. God has given us clear direction. It's found right here in the Word of God. And if you notice as we go through this, you'll find that Gideon is instructed on numerous occasions, but he doubts the instruction of God's Word. But that's a pattern too. Othniel, anybody remember who Othniel was the offspring of? Somebody, I think, just said it. Caleb. And Caleb was partner with who? Joshua. And you remember that God said to the Israelites, go in and conquer the land, and sent the 12 spies in. But only Joshua and Caleb believed the word of God. Okay, you girls okay back there? All right? Okay. So, Gideon's got a problem. And look what he says. Look what God says to him in verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And so, really, the Lord is with me? Really? If the Lord's with me, how come we're going through all of this? Well, sometimes even in our lives, Ethan preached a little bit on it this morning, that sometimes in our lives, things aren't going the way we think that they should be going, but is God always with us? Amen? Amen. By the way, the Pharisees asked Jesus to show them a sign. Jesus had just cast out a demon, and Jesus, that demon had caused that man to be dumb and blind. He had just done that, and the Pharisees were upset, and they said, well, if you be who you say you are, show us a sign. It never ends with signs. You want another sign, another sign. That's when Jesus said, it is a wicked and an adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign. And he said, but you want to know what the sign is? He said, the sign is as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the earth. He was talking about the resurrection. So, but Gideon's wrapped up in this. And he's got a plan. And but look at verse 19 before we get into this. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of the ephah of flour, and the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out of him and under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock. And he poured out the broth, and he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand. He touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there arose up fire out of the rock. Wow! Gideon already had one sign right there. But it wasn't enough. He needs a sign. He's got a problem. Well, now we go to where we started, verse 33. So the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east, they're all gathered there. And they're pitched in the valley of Jezreel. And Gideon blows the trumpet, and he has a huge amount of a gathering of people who come to fight against the Israelites. And that's a good thing. And over 30,000 men come to fight against the Israelites. But Gideon still doubts. And he says to God in verse 36, God, this is my plan. I want to put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on it, then the earth be dry besides it, then I'll know that you're going to save Israel. So I believe, truly, from my opinion of this, God in His graciousness and understanding, I believe, and knowing Gideon's lack of faith takes care of this and does this for Gideon. So I do believe there are things that God does in our lives and circumstances that God brings into our lives that will strengthen our faith. I do believe that God knows when you and I are doubting and we are lacking faith and we don't have that the strength of faith that we ought to have, that God brings circumstances to bear. I believe God uses the preaching of God's Word to do that as well. I believe God uses our prayer life to do that as well. For me personally, I can't speak for you, but those are the signs that I look to. If I have a question or I have something going on in my life, I want to open the Word of God and I'm asking for God to speak to me out of His Word with regard to the direction in my life. I want to spend time in prayer, and as I'm spending time in prayer, I'm seeking the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God leading and guiding and directing me. And whatever and however I believe God is leading and guiding and directed me in my prayer life, it has to also dovetail with what the Word of God says. If it's contrary to the Word of God, then you know that it's not of God. And then if there are circumstances also that come into bearing, the circumstances need to also be prayed about, but the circumstances also need to line up with the Word of God. So Gideon's got this plan. He does what he does here. And Gideon, you can almost tell, he says, after God graciously provides this for him and does what he had asked, and verse 39, Gideon said unto God, "Oh God, don't be angry with me now. But could you just do the opposite as well? I just want to make sure this is really happening here." And I believe God, out of His graciousness, does exactly the same thing. He answers Gideon's request and does what Gideon asks. That's His plan. But you and I, we are taught to walk by faith and not by sight. Gideon is trying to walk by faith and by sight. It doesn't work that way. Do you remember when Jesus rose from the dead? And who was the one disciple that just did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Who was that? It was Thomas. It was Thomas. And then Thomas finally meets up with the Lord, and you remember what Jesus said? He says, "Thomas, look, touch my hands and touch my side and see that it's me." It's one of the great lines in the Bible, one of the great portions of the Scripture. I think it's a very powerful portion of Scripture where Thomas looks at the Lord and he says to Him, "My Lord and my God." But Jesus then said this. He said, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." So you and I think we can learn from Gideon here. He had a problem. I think his problem, there was a fearfulness. All of us at times go through fearfulness. And part of that fearfulness, then it leads to a lack of faith. And Gideon here is looking for signs to move forward. And God graciously takes care of those signs for him. But God had already told him. God had promised him. God had already given command. God had already assured him that they would be victorious. Now let's move on to the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God on the back of your handout. So God faithfully puts up, I believe, with Gideon and deals with Gideon and all that Gideon asked for. On your handout, I have 2 Timothy 2:13. It says this, that if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Read that out loud with me, would you? 2 Timothy 2:13. Let's begin. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Now, I believe if you study that out, the primary context of that is really talking about if you're an unbeliever, God is still faithful. Jesus still went to the cross. Jesus still went to die and pay for our sin. And He has promised eternal life to all that put their faith and trust in Him. I think that's the primary application. But also I think indirectly it assures you and I that are believers that He is faithful to the promises even when we are not faithful to the promises, just like the Israelites were not faithful to the promises. That's the whole theme here. That God unconditionally was faithful to the Israelites even when they were not faithful. Aren't you glad? Because I'm not always faithful, are you? But God's faithful. Always. Maybe you've always made exactly the right decision in your life. Maybe you've never made a wrong turn, a wrong decision. I wish I could say that, but I don't think there's really any human being that could say that. God's faithful. God is faithful. Well, God's got a plan. And in chapter 7, you'll notice this on your handout. God's plan is to convince Gideon's followers that their army is too large. Now, you understand there are more Midianites than the eye can see. Like, they're innumerable. Like, the Israelites are like a speck in an ocean of Midianites. Chapter 7, look at verse 1. Then Jerubbabel, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. So you understand what's happening here? He has accumulated a large amount of men to go to battle. But God understands the nature of humanity. And God already knows, we're going to look at this in a minute, God already knows that the Israelites, it's part of the plan of God, that the Israelites are going to beat the Midianites. But God realized is this, that when the victory is won, if they win, when they win this battle, they'll look at the army that Gideon has amassed and they'll say, aren't we a great army? Aren't we so courageous and so valiant that we beat back the Midianites who have been oppressing us for 7 years? And God says, I can't have that. I've got to convince the Gideonites and Gideon and his followers, the Gideonites and his followers, that they're just too great. And it teaches us that we should never, that we should be careful. I put on your handout, there's a great example back in 1 Chronicles. David made this mistake. It says in 1 Chronicles 21:1, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. David should have thought about what had taken place years earlier with Gideon. And Joab, David's general, said, David, don't do it! Don't do it! And there's a great lesson for you and I to learn that we shouldn't put our confidence in our bank accounts. We shouldn't put our confidence, and nothing wrong with having a bank account, but we shouldn't put our confidence in it. We shouldn't put our confidence in our physical abilities. We shouldn't put our confidence in any of our abilities. Our confidence should be in the Lord. And all that we do, our confidence should be in Him. Amen? Isaiah said this on your handout, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots. By the way, I got a letter this past week, this made me think of this, from an organization in town that they do a nice thing. I don't want to say what they do because I'll give it away. But they've been in town for years, and they're trying to raise money for what they do. But I noticed that they receive a very large check from the United Way. Do you know what the United Way also supports? Abortion. And so what they're doing is they're taking money from Egypt. They're looking to Egypt for help to keep this going. By the way, that's why, as long as I've been the pastor, and I know when I'm gone as not that I'm going anywhere, but when Ethan is in, in the future, as long as you have a preacher like Ethan or a preacher like myself, we'll always raise the money for this ministry through our tithes and our offerings, because that's God's plan. I remember we got this old building. Some people suggested to Pastor Ainsworth, why don't you contact the, we get money for old buildings, the Historical Society. And he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to have any ties to, I'm not saying the Historical Society is bad. I'm just saying that God's people should take care of God's facilities. Amen? And not receive money from organizations that promote ungodly things. Anyhow, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not on the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Israel would make this mistake on a number of occasions. They would look to unbelievers for their help. We should never do that. And so here, Gideon is God's going to use this to teach Gideon and his followers that, listen, your army is just too large. Verse 3, now therefore go, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So out of the 32,000 man army, 22,000 of them went home. By the way, I don't have time to get into this, but there is a verse in Deuteronomy that allows them to do this. And so they left. And so now the army is whittled down. And the Lord, verse 4, said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Gideon must have thought, too many? We've lost over half the army. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. Of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. Wow. So now, Savannah, now the Midianites, huge in number, and there is a speck of 300 men taking on this huge army. 300 men. And now we really move to the second point of God's plan. Not only did God want to convince Gideon's followers that their army is too large, he wanted to convince Gideon's followers that their army was too late. What do you mean they're too late? They haven't even fought the battle yet. It's too late. Because you see, God had already won this victory. He already knew. It wasn't going to be the 300 men even. God was going to give the victory. That's living by faith. Beginning in verse 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. Let me just stop here. I don't know about you, but when God says it, that pretty much settles it. Amen? God said, I've delivered them into your hand. It's done. It's a done deal. And there are all kinds of promises in God's word that God promises it's a done deal. Enter ye into the storehouse and prove me now here, saith the Lord, if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that ye shall not have room enough to receive. It's a done deal as far as I'm concerned. It's already done. Put on the armor of faith. It's a done deal. Faith is the victory. We sing that. It's a done deal. I've delivered them into your hand. It didn't matter whether they had 300 or whether they had 30, whether they had one. God has delivered them into their hand. I think it was Martin Luther said that God, one with God is a majority. It's all over. Gideon's probably wondering, but look what it says. God knows Gideon's heart. Look at verse 10. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. So let me give Gideon a break, because I would probably be like Gideon. I would think, well, I had 32,000, and now I'm down to 300. And God wants me to take on this army. I mean, he had already said, where's all the miracles? I mean, what? God knows our hearts, and he knew Gideon's heart. He says, if you're afraid, Gideon, like God didn't know, if you're afraid, you go down, just go down into the camp, to their camp, and listen. And so he does. So they go down in verse number 11, right in the middle of the verse. Then went he down with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. So there's Gideon. He's kind of eavesdropping here. And he says, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for unto his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. This man had dreamed this, and there was fear in the Midianite camp. And just think about the dream. A cake of barley bread. There's nothing special about a cake of barley bread. Well, verse 15, it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divides the company into three, or the 300 into three companies of 100. He puts a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitcher. And he says unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. Here's my strategy. Here's my plan. When I blow the trumpet and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their hands and the trumpets in their right hand to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Listen, we don't even know if these guys had any weapons with them. They had a trumpet. They had pitchers, and inside of these pitchers was a lamp. And so they do what Gideon says. Verse 20, the three companies blew the trumpets, brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their hands, and the trumpet in their right hand to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. They stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And so now we see that not only was Gideon's followers going to learn that their army was too large, but their God was not too small. And not only was Gideon's followers going to understand that their army was really too late, the victory had already been assured. Our victory has already been assured. And lastly, Gideon would be used of God, and God would confound Gideon's foes. Look on your handout, the last point. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." In this instant, each man had a light, and the light was hidden in an earthen vessel. When the vessel was broken, the light shined forth. The Midianites really represent darkness, the world in which we live in, the foes of the one true living God and His people. The trumpet was sounded and a great victory was won. Because the Midianites, they already, God had given them the spirit of fear. But now when this took place, and I suppose as the three groups of 100 were around and they blew those trumpets and the lights came on, that the Midianites, already with the spirit of fear, there was confusion in the camp and they started killing one another. And then they ran. The Israelites would pursue after them. But listen, let me finish with this, and I'm done. I've said all of that to say this. We too are up against the powers of darkness, the Midianites. We just don't call them Midianites. It's the world in which we live in. There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light. Amen? We're just earthen vessels. It's all we are. And there's a light within each one of us that God wants to use to shine forth into the world in which we live. But just like the Israelites had to take those vessels when they heard the trumpet cry and those vessels had to be broken, your light will never shine better until you're broken for Jesus Christ. When you're broken for Jesus Christ, then you'll be willing to go and be who and what God wants you to be. There was nothing special about the light. There was nothing special about the vessels. There was nothing special about the trumpets. There's really nothing special about Gideon, but there's a lot special about his God. And that was the plan. And God wants to use you and He wants to use me in the same way. Allow yourself to be broken. Light always drives away the darkness. The bottom of your handout, Matthew chapter 5, and verses 14 through 16. The Bible says that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, and neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let me just stop there. Have you allowed the Lord to just break you of yourself so that your light shines out into a world that desperately needs to see the light of the world, Jesus Christ? We can get all caught up like Gideon and we see all that's going on in the world and we feel like we can be overwhelmed like the Midianites for 7 years. They overwhelmed the Israelites. And yet God had a simple plan with just a simple man to defeat the Midianites. And God will use you too. You're going to find all through the book of Judges. There's nothing special really about these judges. One of them, the only thing, his claim to fame was he was left-handed. That was it. The other one could fight good with an ox goad, I guess it was. That was it. So God, if He can use those guys, God can use you too. And God can use me. Amen? But you got to allow God to break you. And let that light shine into the world. We're going to leave this place in just a few minutes. We're going to go out this week to our homes, to work, to school. You kids who are students, do those around you see the light of Jesus in you? Do they see that light shining? At work, do your coworkers know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you're a believer? Do they know? Do they know, or is that light hidden in the vessel? If they didn't break the vessel, then the victory wouldn't have been done. The trumpets were blown, the vessels were broken, the light shined forth, and there was a great victory. Well, God is calling us to do the same. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We live in a world, I said earlier, people looking for miracles and signs and wonders. I've said it before. If you're born again tonight, that's the greatest miracle the world has ever seen. There is no greater miracle than that. Spiritually, you've been risen from the dead. Let people see Jesus living in and through you. Don't hide that light. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we ask that you'd help us as we go out into this world in which we live in. And truly, like Gideon, we become afraid at times. We're fearful. But you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And thank you, Lord, that you're so gracious to us that even when we're not faithful, when we doubt your word, that you're faithful, that you're merciful and gracious to us, and that you help us along. We're so thankful for that. But as we leave this place tonight, help us to remember that there's a world that's lost and dying and going to hell. And if we'll allow you to just break us of our will and of our pride, of our fear, of our shyness, that your light will shine forth in a great way. And others will see Christ living in and through us. And great victories can be won. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.